Do you want to say introduce yourself?
That's it.
Associate professor over at College of Business.
Well, I'm Mike Manimore. We've been out of the hall.
Kim Ledeff.
Dan Lucas. Nice. Yeah, I work in the foundation.
He's in my college. He's up to under each other.
Attendance.
Oh, okay.
Well, announce the meeting.
It's April 30th, collective bargaining between University of West Florida and United Faculty of Florida. John Finn.
Daniel Pace.
Justin Davis.
Right, Damien.
Mike Battleborn.
Kim Ledeff.
Dan Lucas.
All right, so I think, what should be received as good news.
Okay.
As for our second article to reopen, okay. We're not going to reopen.
Yay.
Okay.
Is that a yay?
That's good.
Good news.
Our second one is, I'll write it down.
You don't have to write it down. It's sign in here, please.
If you need it, it's just it's Article 3, the UFF rights. We're currently on that waiver for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So just figure we can just touch that out.
Do you know what I predicted was going to be open?
What?
Article 3.
Yeah. Well, clearly we're of the same mind that we're focusing almost exclusively on this instructor lecturer stuff. These other things are kind of touching up.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
We have responses on
things.
Okay. If you want to go through those.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay. These are two items. First, take one pass around. This is a response to the Instructor Excellence Award that you guys put across last time.
Okay.
So we've gone through that. When we did sustained performance, we did a similar structure to this. I think when we worked, Mike, if you remember, with working documents before we started immediately putting things in contract language.
Okay.
And that's kind of the impression that I got from
the last time.
And so that's perfectly fine with us to kind of go through that process until we get closer to working documents. What we've done here in this response, I'll kind of just walk through all these elements. We wanted to make sure and just try and get a sense of the population of the individuals that we're talking about, right? So this printout, these are all of our, as of our most recent, the most recent in-unit faculty list that we received at the start of this academic year, right? So there's going to be a few changes from this list to currently, but these are the current in-unit faculty who are not library or tenure line, right? So these are current faculty who don't have access either to the SPE system or to the promotion system. They consist of 14 research associates, 33 lecturers, 56 instructors, one associate in, one assistant in, two associate scholar scientists research, and nine assistant professors of clinical practice, right, comprising 116 in-unit faculty. So this is the population of individuals who we're talking about who currently don't have promotion or SPE recurring increase structure. Our recommendation, so in reviewing the award, our first recommendation was that a meritorious review and salary increase program for non-tenure faculty should include all position categories of in-unit faculty who currently do not have access to such increased programs, right? So we think that all these individuals should have an access either to the promotion structure or to an SPE, recurrent increase structure, based on their positions. Second recommendation, the designation of the review and compensation process as an award potentially implies a comparative evaluation among faculty and a limitation of rewards given rather than individual and objective review of faculty. When I sent out my bargaining update, a lot of people wrote back and ask about just the concept of an award. And the impression that I got at the table when we were discussing it is that the intention was not to limit that to a select number of individuals, but that it was really more of a review. And so that's also our one of our recommendations, is that any type of award or review, the individuals need to be evaluated on defined criteria rather than set against each other, right? Saying, okay, we're only going to give three of these or five of these or something per year, that they need to be based on individual criteria. You all mentioned last time that you want that the concept that the university most prefers is the sustained performance evaluation structure that we have. So what we did is we went back through and looked at our current SPE system, and we think that we can essentially take that model and integrate it almost exactly for instructors and lecturers. I think we can take the spirit of what you guys said and actually even move closer to the SPE structure. So what we're recommending, building off of the materials that you guys put forward, is that a non-tenure line faculty member who would qualify for this new structure, that they would receive either one of two categories, recommend or do not recommend. On the SPE, we have three categories. Usually what differentiates the clearly exceeding category is their scholarship. And so here we just have two categories of recommend or not recommend, because the majority of these faculty members don't have scholarship requirements in their positions. So now when you're a faculty member and you go up for promotion or SPE, there's two sets of criteria that you have to meet, right? The first is the university tenure criteria. The university criteria is exclusively based on your annual eval rankings and ratings, right? There's nothing that's definitive in terms of publications or those kind of things in the university criteria for tenure. The departments in their individual units, they define what are called enhanced criteria, and that's where you say, okay, you need to maybe have five articles or a book or whatever is appropriate for your discipline, right?
Okay.
So we're recommending that these non-tenure faculty still have to meet the university criteria for tenure, right? But only in the categories that apply to them. Okay, so I've reproduced this here just so it's clear. Because there's a tendency, non-tenure line faculty are going to hear that and say, well, wait a minute, I'm a non-tenure line faculty. What do you mean I have to meet tenure criteria? And the university tenure criteria is only based on their annual evaluation ratings, right? So, for example, for a favorable personnel decision, the weight of evidence must show sustained performance at these levels. For teaching is excellent, and then scholarship and creative products and projects, and then service, at least excellent in one category or at least good in another, right? So these are based exclusively on your annual evaluation ratings. So if an instructor or lecturer is only evaluated on teaching and service, right, then they would only have to meet the university tenure criteria of excellence and excellent or good in service, and not a relationship of a corresponding rating in scholarship and creative products, because their projects are not evaluated on that. Now, we could certainly negotiate if should they both be excellent, because you don't have that choice on excellent or good for those two ratings. So then, in addition to that, they would have to meet the departments would define enhanced criteria for recommendations, right, in order to receive a recommendation for this increase. The way that it works now is, as I said, you meet your university criteria for a promotion or SPE, and then you have to meet the departmental enhanced criteria, right? And in that departmental enhanced criteria, it says, three publications, et cetera, et cetera. The type of enhanced criteria that departments may define in their bylaws would be things like a service project, an enhanced teaching portfolio. These are all things that are going to be specific to the individual departments, right? And this is the shared governance component, where they would we'd have to build in time in the rollout schedule to give departments time to define what they think appropriate enhanced criteria should be. And so then a faculty member who meets the university criteria and the enhanced criteria, they would receive a recommend rating. Right? And we think that we can incorporate essentially the same dossier and supporting materials file that's used on the SPE. Right? That we don't have to reinvent the wheel on that. That process, we would just simply in the contract say that we're, you know, that it would mirror an SPE file submission. And the review, we're also recommending that the review would be the same as well. Right now, an SPE is reviewed by the department chair, the dean, the college personnel committee, and then the provost makes the final decision. We're recommending one change in that. When we've looked at other universities, right now the college personnel committee is comprised exclusively of tenured faculty, and that has created problems where you have tenured faculty exclusively evaluating non-tenured faculty, and sometimes there's a tendency not to follow guidelines or it's not an equitable structure. They really need to be reviewed by peers the way that the college personnel committee reviews their peers as well. And for simple workload issues, the college personnel committees right now are reviewing all tenure files and all SPE files. If you add on top of that all of the files of the non-tenure line faculty, they're just going to be swamped. Mm-hmm. So we're recommending that you would, this is what other universities have done for their instructor lecturer promotions, is established a personnel committee comprised of non-tenure track faculty. If we needed to talk about how that would be comprised during the rollout of this type of program, we could certainly talk about that as well. Recommendation six is that this would be it'd be optional at the discretion of the faculty member. It's a little bit, the sustained performance structure is different because the goal of that is to have faculty members maintain their tenure level of production and to reward that production, right? This would be for non-tenure line faculty performance beyond their job requirements, right? Like there are enhanced criteria that's defined in the department would be above their normal job requirements, right? And so it would be optional. The same way that going up for, say, full professor is optional for non-tenure line faculty. So they wouldn't be required to do that. It would follow the same schedule as an SPE as well, we are recommending. And we're recommending that this would be a $5,000 increase for a recommend rating. Instructors and lecturers, they do not have either promotions or the recurring SPE increase, so we feel like this is an appropriate amount every 5 to 6 years.
Okay.
So that's the basic structure. Basically, we're trying to take as much as we can use from the SPE system that we currently have and to make the accommodations where necessary. Okay.
Kim, Daniel, do you want to take a minute to think about this?
Yeah. Okay. I contacted all the different groups. Some of these, like I think where there's only like one faculty member who's an associate in or assistant in, their positions are changing or shifting around. I think not all of those are currently in those current positions. And research associates appear to be evaluated, at least the majority that responded to me, are evaluated on three criteria: scholarship, creative activities, scholarship, service, and teaching. Not all of them. There's some who are kind of like managing specific sites, other things, but quite a few of them who responded to me said that they're evaluated on the three ordinal ratings.
Any questions?
No.
One of the things too, with the SPE, there's no outside letters the way in which there is with a tenure file. And that would also be mirrored here. Like you wouldn't have to get outside, you wouldn't get outside letters.
When you say same schedule as SPE, Jonathan, do you mean 6 years?
I mean both the 6 year rotation period, mm-hmm. right? You would go up every 6 years, right? It would mirror that. And also the annual schedule as well, of like okay. when you submit a file and you know, how it's reviewed. Because it would be the same reviewing, the same number of reviewing entities, right? And the same types of recommendations, except that. We would flip out the personnel committee to a personnel committee of their peers.
Right. I think I got it. So what you're really proposing is that we use an SPE-like model. And the ratings would only be recommend and do not recommend as opposed to the three levels of the SPE. Mm-hmm. You meet university tenure criteria that's applicable to you, and then you'd also meet any enhanced criteria that would come from the department.
Yeah, in the bylaws.
Mm-hmm. You're rated on teaching and service, and you need an excellent in one of the two and a good in the other to qualify. They'd use the same dossier as we're currently using for the SPE. There would be a personnel committee that would be created that would be comprised of the faculty that would be eligible for this review.
Yeah.
It'd be optional instead of SPE obligatory. I guess, you know, since SPE is obligatory, I guess what happens with this SPE is that if you fail to receive a satisfactory under SPE, you go into some kind of a mediation.
Yeah, you receive a performance improvement plan, and the goal of that PIP is to bring you up to the 10-year standard.
Right.
You know, and so
since this is optional, it wouldn't apply.
Yeah, there wouldn't be a PIP because so like the 10-year standard is like a faculty member who is going up for SPE. They're trying to be brought, you know, they compare it to what their job description defines as like a tenured standard, right? Mm-hmm. This would be enhanced criteria in addition to that. The one small thing, Mark, I put the university tenured criteria here just for reference so you guys know what it is, but I would imagine the contract language would just say they would meet the university tenure criteria that's applicable to them, right? Mm-hmm. So it's helpful in that way because it's responsive to changes that are made. The contract is then incorporates and responsive to changes that are made on a university-wide process, right? So if changes are made to tenure, they, as they do with SPE now, they then trigger through the SPE structure.
Can I ask this? Do all instructors have a service component to their contracts?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
100%.
Well, the ones that contacted me, my understanding, most instructors and lecturers are pretty uniform. They're evaluated on service and teaching.
So they are these two. Yeah.
And but they're teaching more. They're teaching technically everyone's teaching a 4-4 schedule, but tenure line faculty teach 3-3 because they get the course release in order to do research. But yeah, instructors and lecturers are pretty standard.
And I appreciate all this. In your position, we'll take it all back, and I'll review it. I know that one of the components that I think was clear from what we had put on the table was that there was a weighing of teaching above service, I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I think in crafting that program, I heard that being expressed.
Sure.
That they thought that there should be a balance toward teaching.
Well, and you could
by these positions. But go ahead. Sean.
Yeah, and you could certainly. I mean, we'd certainly be willing to incorporate that in the kind of guidelines that we give towards required departmental enhanced criteria, right? The university. That's just the baseline, right? That's I don't think I've ever seen someone who's gone up for promotion, right, or as who they have not met like the university criteria. It's always almost entirely in the enhanced criteria where the rubber meets the road, as they say. So you could certainly, instead of just broadly saying enhanced criteria, you could say enhanced criteria specific to teaching. And I think all of these entities, research associates, they all have a teaching evaluation, right? So I think that's the common denominator across the vast majority of these entities.
Okay.
An additional question you might want to ask the university is how they're planning to incorporate the non-tenured assistant clinical professors. If their goal is to have them participate in this type of review or to incorporate them into into the other promotion structure.
Say it again, John.
Okay, so we have clinical assistant professors who those position codes we worked out about a year or so ago. Right?
Okay.
They were hired, right? They are assistant professors, but they're non-tenure earning faculty.
Okay. Right?
They currently don't have access either to promotions or SPE or any of those things. But the university will need to make a decision on which path they want them to participate in, right? Are they going to participate in the program that we're negotiating here, or are they going to participate in the traditional promotion structure?
And that's the nine that is referenced.
Yeah, those are the nine, the assistant professors of clinical practice. They're kind of on the fence. They could go in either direction.
Okay.
Take your recording.
Oh yeah. I forgot I was being